A very long chapter, but a very great, great chapter. In fact, all the chapters in the Bible is very, very great. I'd like to say to start with, you men here this morning, this is Valentine's Day, the 14th of February, and I like to tell my bride, I'm thank the Lord for my bride. Have you told y'all your bride this morning that you're thankful for? I tell you, Jesus Christ, in the verse of Scripture I've been reading a little while, thanks God the Father for the bride that God the Father has given Jesus Christ. And that is the church. That's you. That's me. And I thank the Lord for Jesus Christ to accept me in that beloved body to be the bride of Christ. The Holy Spirit we'll find here this morning is be the one that's going to be wooing someone here this day. He's the one who's going to be talking to your heart. I can preach truth. I cannot impart truth. I cannot convict you. I cannot convince you. I can just preach truth. The Holy Spirit of God is the one that's going to escort you into the body of Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you're saved, you might know that you have. That's the way that you got saved. Everybody got saved the same way. The Holy Spirit of God convicted you and convinced you that Jesus Christ was a lover of your soul. So we find out in these verses of Scripture this morning about Rebekah. We'll find out that she is a bride represented here in the Old Testament time. And the Holy Spirit convinced her by the servant was sent from Abraham that great, great bridegroom, which is Isaac, we'll find out that the Holy Spirit of God convinced her that she would leave her father and mother and everything and come and see a man and marry a man that she's never seen before, go into a country that she's never lived before. And the same thing for you and I. Whenever we accept the Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God convinced us that we needed to go see someone we'd never seen before by faith. And we sing that song one of these days, and when he takes us by our hand, I'll see him. My faith will turn to sight. And Rebecca, we find out that long journey that she made to see her bridegroom, we'll find out that her fate turned to sight. One of these days, the same thing, when Isaac took Rebekah by the hand, when Jesus Christ takes us by the hand and leads us into that promised land. What a day it was for Rebekah. What a day it be for us. Now, we're living today by faith. We believe that all this is going to happen. One of these days that I believe that I'll be with Jesus Christ forevermore. Don't you? That's what the Bible teaches us, that one of these days I'll see Jesus. I'll see the one that died on the cross for my sin. I'll see the lover of my soul. And all along this road, we'll find out what the Holy Spirit of God talked about the servant of Abraham. He helps us along this road. Now, this, as I said, is the greatest love story, I believe, that's penned in the Word of God. Abraham, we find out in these verses of Scripture, if you keep your Bible open to chapter 24, really starts with chapter 22 on down to 24, but we find that Abraham represents God the Father. Isaac represents God the Son, and the servant is no named in this chapter, and we find out that represents the Holy Spirit of God. No name. We'll find no name for this servant in this chapter 24. The Holy Spirit do not call attention to himself or what it is. He points to Jesus. That's him. That's him. That's him, the Holy Spirit of God. He reaches out to the world today, lets us know that Jesus Christ is him through the Holy Spirit of God. Rebekah represents here is the bride. That's you and that's I. Someone might walk down this aisle today, and they might accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and they'll be added to the body of Christ, which is the bride of the great Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, this day, and be saved. What a day. What a day that'll be. And how you and I become the bride of Christ in the same way that what Jesus Christ has done for all. Now, we find out in these verses of Scriptures and all through the Bible, we find out the Bible is about him. This is a hymn book about Jesus Christ. This is a hymn book about Jesus Christ. All the Old Testament, all the New Testament is about him. In the Old Testament, it says Jesus Christ is coming. All through the Old Testament, Jesus Christ is coming. In fact, even we find out that John the Baptist, did you know that John the Baptist was an Old Testament prophet, even though he's mentioned in the New Testament because he's preaching and teaching about Jesus Christ coming. He's going to come. He says, make the way, make the path straight, that Jesus Christ is coming. So we find out in the Old Testament, all the Old Testament prophets, that Jesus Christ is coming. But then we find out in the gospel what happened in the gospel is that Jesus Christ has come. Jesus Christ has come to this earth. But then we find out in the epistles and also in the Revelation, we find that Jesus Christ is going to come again. So we have the whole Bible is about him. Jesus Christ said whenever he was here on this earth, he spoke about the Scripture. He said, search the Scriptures, for they are they that testify of me. Now, at that time, the New Testament was not written, so we know that he's talking about the Old Testament. Jesus Christ was talking about himself in the Old Testament time. Now, we find out all through the Old Testament. The Old Testament's there. Jesus Christ is standing in the shadows. Here in this book, this chapter we're fixing to read here in a few verses, just a few moments. We see him standing in the shadows. The Old Testament prophets had painted a portrayal of Jesus Christ, that person they'd never seen before, but through the inspiration of the Word of God and the Spirit of God, they would be able to pin it on the paper that we might be able to read today. As I said, that in Genesis chapter 22 and chapter 24, Isaac is now the son of Abraham. Remember what it means, the typology in the picture of Jesus Christ. And we find out why he is the son of God and why that Isaac represents him, because you know that Isaac had this miraculous birth. And Jesus Christ, the great birth of Jesus Christ, the virgin birth. Also of Isaac, we find out that in chapter 22 that he actually died on Mount Moriah. He was sacrificed there. He was dead in the mind and the heart of Abraham, although Isaac did not die. But he represents the death of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. But then we know that he was raised again, that God had a substitute for Isaac. But Jesus Christ died, and he is our substitute today. That's the resurrection. And then we find out here in this chapter that Isaac receives his bride. As we look into Jesus Christ coming again, and this 14th of February, this day that we call Valentine's Day, it's a love day. Well, this is a love sermon. Every sermon should be a love sermon. But here we find the Holy Spirit of God, what he's done many years ago, is going to be doing today. And the greatest thing that God the Father is doing today is sent the Holy Spirit of God to woo us into the very body of Jesus Christ. There's a person here this morning that's never been saved. I tell you today, the Holy Spirit of God is going to be doing today exactly what the Holy Spirit of God, the servant, did in the day of Abraham and Isaac and Rebekah. Because you see, he's going to be the convincer. The program of the servant is a program of the Holy Spirit of God in my third note. You see that he's going to be the convincer. He here today, if you lost it, the Holy Spirit of God is going to convince you that Jesus Christ is the great God and lover of your soul. And with the great power and honor and beauty that he is, the beautiful Savior that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sin, he's going to convince you today, if you're lost today, that you need a Savior. And this Savior is nobody but Jesus Christ. There are no other way except Jesus Christ. Then all along the way, it's not enough after you're saved. There are many of us saved here today. I pray that we all are. We're not, you can be saved today. And all along the way, after the Holy Spirit has convinced you, I know I'm getting ahead of myself in this sermon, but see, he has convinced you. I'm telling you what's going to happen. That now all along the way in our life, from the time that you're saved to God calls us away from this world, or Jesus Christ comes back and wraps your church, he's going to be your counselor. All along the way, it says, learn more and more about Jesus Christ. Grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All along the way in my pilgrim life, in your life this day, that the Holy Spirit of God, it keeps counseling me along the way about Jesus Christ. Yeah, the road gets hard. Yeah, the road gets bumpy in our life, in our Christian life. But he said, you know, he's our counselor. The Holy Spirit comes alongside. He is our helper. But not only that, he's our comforter. He is our comforter. Oh, when things go bad, he begins to show us the great things we have in the future. We sung that song. You see, there'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more tears. He's the great comfort of my soul. And when things go hard and people are living a disappointed life to this day that we live in, we're living in tough times and hard times. As Christian today, you know what? It's hard to live this day in which we live. But the comfort alongside, you say it's hard and we're going through some difficulties and I'm going through some sickness and I'm going through some trials. I'm going through some sorrows and heartaches and pain and disappointments in life. And the Holy Spirit of God just takes you that song we just sung. And I want you to move your mind away from the things we've seen today as the Holy Spirit of comfort, just like did Rebekah. Tells you the great thing of our God and Father, what he has for us. One of these days that there will be no more pain. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more heartache. We're going to a land where there will be no more parting. There will your loved ones, your friends, your family be together. We'll be with Jesus Christ. We'll be complete in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We don't know what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear. Here we should be like him. We'll have a body, you know, that's fashioned for heaven, that we might live forever and ever and enjoy heaven like it is. Now I'm fixing to preach my sermon. You know what it's all about now, don't you? The Holy Spirit of God is going to work on you today. He's going to work on me. He's going to work on all of us today. Now it says in chapter 24, verse 1, and I read verse 1 through 24. I hope that you keep your Bibles open, take notes. You may go home and read this whole chapter, because there's no way in 2 hours I could preach this chapter with all the great nuggets of gold that's in this chapter. But we find that Abraham's growing old. It says, and Abraham in chapter 24 and verse 1, and Abraham was old and well stricken in age. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Abraham, remember now, is God the Father. And Abraham said to his elder servant, which has no name of his house, that rules over all that he had, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. That's where they made a request. And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heavens, and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto thy sons or the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go into my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. Let us pray. Jesus, our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this occasion on this great day. Lord, we know this is the 14th of February to set aside, Lord, that this is a great love day. But I know that every day that you love us, Father, and here this day, Father, we know this is a great love day because we know the Holy Spirit of God is going to help us to understand the great love, God, that you have for us through your Son, Jesus Christ, that proved this love towards us. Lord, while we was yet sinners, he died on the cross. Lord, that proves enough for me today. And I hope, Father, it proves enough for everybody here today that they won't be ashamed of Jesus. If there's a person that's never walked down this aisle and professed Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, Father, we just pray that Holy Spirit of God right now is working on that heart and that soul to God convince them, Lord, that they should not be ashamed of Jesus, Lord, because of what you've done for us, that you was not ashamed of us. Father, I just pray, God, that you might help that person, no matter where they might be, oh God, to walk down this aisle and confess you as Lord and Savior. Father, we pray for the moving of the Holy Spirit of God here this day. Lord, some Christian here today needs comfort, oh God, of the Holy Spirit of God through the Word of God. You might comfort them in the problem they have in life and let them know, Lord, this great long journey that we have. Father, that you have someone to go with us. You said in your Word that you will never leave us, that you will never forsake us, Lord, that you have sent that comfort to be with us. Father, we thank you for your precious promise in your Word, oh God. And Father, one of these days we know that, Father, you're going to come back. Your precious Word said you was coming back, Father, and we're waiting for you to come back, Father, because you want to hold your bride and your arm, Father. We can't wait to that day, Father Jesus Christ, that we might get excited about what you're doing in the lives of your people, Father, because we know the time is drawing near, Father. It's closer than it's ever been before. Lord, we just pray, God, that, Lord, that soul might be here this day, but you know what, make up that body of Christ this day, Father. For all these blessed, we pray and ask you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. The romance of redemption. I mean, there's his greatest love story. I'll tell you, Jesus Christ loved his church. So I said, you see, Father Abraham, it really shows us about God, the eternal Father. God is the eternal Father. You know, and time passed, he's planning, though, and prophesied that his son shall have a bride. He done this in time past before this world was ever spoken of in the mind, in the heart of God that me and you cannot understand. It was already planned and prophesied and ordained by God the Father that his son Jesus Christ shall have a bride. And that bride is the church today. In verse 4, as I had just read, it says again, but thou shalt go into a far country. That's the country that we're living in today. And the purpose of the Father, the great desire of the Father, the great heartbeat of the Father in this age that you and I are living in today, it all comes down to this, that he's bringing a bride to his son. And that is the great purpose and the great desire of the heartbeat of God the Father through the Holy Spirit of God to bring a bride for his son Jesus Christ. In Matthew 22:2 it also says, the kingdom of heaven, as Jesus Christ speaking the parable, is likened to a certain king which made a marriage for his son. The great marriage. One of these days you know that God the Father has said, you know what, I'm going to have a marriage feast for God the Son. And that takes place in the sky. One of these days you know the sky is going to part. Jesus Christ not coming back to this earth. He's going to come back in the air. We shall meet him in the air. That's called the rapture of the church. And that we'll have a great supper there in the sky, the supper of the Lamb. God the Father has already said that you're going to have a supper of the Lamb. That is a great parable. Then Jesus Christ receives a gift from his Father of heaven. And we are his gift, the bride. We know Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death, but there's a gift. A gift, and that is Jesus Christ. God gives this beautiful gift to us, eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior today. I hope that you have invited someone to be with us today. I hope last week that you went around inviting someone to be in our midst. They should be visiting here every day because of what you have done throughout this week. Have you witnessed to someone? They might hear the Word of God, and they may be added to the bride, which you all of us ought to know and understand that everybody needs to be saved. It also says, John 17:24, Father, it says, Jesus Christ speaking, I will that day also, whom thou givest me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, thou hast given me, he says, for thou lovest me before the foundations of the world. Here is Jesus Christ thanking the Father for his bride. As I said, men, have you thanked God for your bride? Have you thanked God for your bride? Have you really thanked God? How does God the Father seek a bride? Well, Abraham, we find out in the verse of Scripture, the same exactly way that happened today, happened many, many years ago, and it's pictured in Abraham, Isaac, Rebecca, and also the servant, how he seeks a bride today. He's doing that same thing in this church right now. He's doing the same thing in this world right now, the very, very exact same way. It was put there for our understanding, for our example, to know what's happening in our life today, how Father Abraham knew that Isaac needed a bride to complete him and to make him whole. We need a bride to complete us, men, and to make us whole. Genesis says, God said, it is not good that man shall live alone. I will make him a fit helpmeet for him. Because we say we are incomplete without a bride, men. You ever heard someone say, this is my other half. We're not a whole person. We need help, and we thank the Lord for our bride. To understand what I'm fixing to say, I want you to think about it just a moment. I'm not saying that Jesus Christ is imperfect. Jesus Christ do not lack anything in his nature. But without the church, Jesus Christ is incomplete. Without the church, Jesus Christ is incomplete. Now, this is a plan and the purpose of God the Father, that he would have a bride for his son, the church, for him to be fulfilled, for Christ to be fulfilled. In Ephesians 1, chapter 22, and verse 22 and 23, it says in Ephesians 1, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the earth, which is his body. This makes him what incomplete. It's his body. Now, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Without the church, Jesus Christ would not be fulfilled. We fulfill Jesus Christ, but why? Because it was planned in the heart and mind of God before the foundation of this world that he might have a bride, that he might be complete. What good would it be for someone to love if you didn't have anything to love? I mean, here's a person that loved Jesus Christ. Love. Well, who's he going to love? He loves his church. He said he gave his life for his church. He died for his church. I hope that will make a soul winner out of every one of us, you know, because there's a void in our heart without Jesus Christ today. What good is it today if you love and love and love and have no one to love today? Oh, now I want you to find out what the Holy Spirit done about this, because you see the elder servant is what we call the Holy Spirit in these chapters. Now, in chapter 24, verse 2 again, it says, the elder servant ruled over all that the Father had. That means all that Father Abraham had, he ruled over it all. You know, the Holy Spirit of God today, he had everything that we need, and I'll show you in just a minute. No name. No name for this servant. You know, the Holy Spirit of God does not point to himself. Be aware of any movement that points more about the Holy Spirit of God than they do about Jesus Christ. It's always about Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit working in itself is always point people to Jesus Christ, and it never points people to himself, the Holy Spirit of God. So be very aware of any movement that puts more emphasis there on the Holy Spirit of God than they do Jesus Christ today. Well, that is the great ministry of the Holy Spirit of God, is call attention to Jesus Christ and the great lover of our soul today. He is our heavenly helper. It says in Rome, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. He is our heavenly helper today. He is our heavenly servant today. Today, bringing all things unto his purpose, and that is a church today. And to this great purpose of the church, and that is the bride of Christ. The purpose of the Father, we find today what he done. He had purpose in the mind of Abraham, purpose in the mind of God the Father, that the Son would have a bride. All before the Son even asked about it, the Father already planned this. Then a predestination there, or a predetermination of the bride. The bride in the heart and the mind of the Father, as I said already. Now, verse 4, we find out that she was divine chosen. In chapter 24 and verse 14. And it says, now, when this servant goes into this land, how am I going to know that this is the bride? Isaac didn't know nothing about her, never met her. She never met Isaac. How am I going to know this? He asks now. All right, it says there in verse 14, it shall come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she may say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let thee same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. How am I going to know this? I'm going back in this far land. How am I going to know this? It'll be that woman. It says, you want to drink water, and takes that picture. And that was a beautiful picture there of Rebecca. Divine chosen. How? But that's the one I've chose for you. This one's what happened. Now, she had agreed. Now, in Ephesians, it says now 1 and 14 again. And according as he have chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He chose us before the foundation of the world, just like this servant, just like Abraham chose this bride. Before that they ever met her, he had chose this bride. God the Father, she had agreed that she had chose Isaac because he first chose her. The Heavenly Father had his eyes on you before you ever had your eyes on Jesus Christ. He had his eyes on you. But now we find here now really the program of the Spirit, what the Spirit's going to do. And I showed you in the opening of this message what the program of the Spirit does for us. Now this Spirit, as you know, is really the servant of Abraham. The bride is Rebekah. Now the Holy Spirit goes to this far country to seek a bride. It goes back into this country to seek a bride. Now we find this happenings. The servant meets Rebekah. There's three things now, as I said, that she did, or he did for her along the way. Now, the first thing he does, he meets this woman, Rebekah. Now, the Holy Spirit now has three things I said. He convinces her, he counsels her, and he comforts her. You are the bride now. You listen, you are the bride. Now, in verses 34 and 35, if you misjot these down, here's where he starts convincing her that about Isaac. Now, in 34 and 35, and he said, that is a servant, I am Abraham's servant. And the Lord has blessed my master greatly, and he has become great. And he has given him flocks and herbs and silver and gold and manservants and maidservants and camels and asses. He gave him everything. He's a great man. He is wealthy beyond measure. He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. He is great. That is the Father. And everything the Father have, he's put it in the hands of the Son. Everything the Father has. So Abraham's servant says, you know, God has blessed him. He is a great man. Man, he has a cattle of everything. He owns so much wealth and gold. Everything, but everything belongs to the Son. Same thing for us today. John 15 and 26 says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. Again, he's going to tell about Jesus Christ. The servant, the Holy Spirit, is so convincing, so convincing. I mean, he just talks to this young, beautiful lady now, and he's so convincing. You see, that's what the Holy Spirit had done for me. That's what the Holy Spirit had done for you. That's what the Holy Spirit's doing today. He's convincing people today of the great beauty of Isaac, the great beauty of our Isaac Jesus Christ. Now listen, ladies, look what this servant done, how he was so convincing, this man. To go and meet this man she's never met before and say that I'll leave and I'll go and I'll marry him and she's never seen. Now the power of persuasion is how you got saved. The Holy Spirit persuaded you and showed you that you was a sinner and you need to be saved. And Jesus Christ was everything that the Holy Spirit said he was, and the great power of persuasion. Now, the great power of persuasion right now is working in this church. He's working in the lives of people this day. Because this woman here, we find out she was willing to leave her mother and the father. Now, ladies, girls, when y'all fix to get married, you're going to have to leave that home. You're going to make another home. You're going to leave your mother. You're going to leave your father. You're going to leave your sister. You're going to leave your brother. You're going to leave your home with your comfort. You're going to leave your, you might even leave your land. You might go to a foreign land. You'll go to a place and meet a man you've never seen. Now, listen, would you do this, girls? Would you do this today? How convincing would it be if I try to convince you of going to see somebody you've never met before and leave everything that you have and go and marry a man that you've never seen? Now, I'm going to tell you, would you tell you not that it takes some convincing to do that? That would take a lot of convincing to do that. But the Holy Spirit is working in hearts and lives today. And that's exactly what he's doing. He is convincing people how bad they need a Savior. Leave everything for Jesus Christ, because that's all we're going to have anyway in this world is Jesus Christ anyway. The Holy Spirit has done down deep in the heart, I pray that he's doing right now in this service. He's working on some heart this day. He sung these two beautiful songs, Brother, We Met Together. Without the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't have come down. We would be nothing today. Oh, I'm going to tell you what, that's a beautiful song, Brother, We Met Together, for the Holy Spirit to do what he's doing today. Now, I'm just a human instrument of what God is using today. May God use me. May God use Brother Marshall. May God use you as you witness to people today. We're just a human instrument that God uses today. But the power of convincing comes through the Spirit of God this day. I cannot convince you to walk down this aisle. I cannot convince you to be saved today. I can preach truth to you today, but the Holy Spirit of God has got to convince your heart that you need a Savior, and that lover of your soul is Jesus Christ. That is convincer of your soul today. And how I wish, you know what, that we could just really understand what a great purpose we have in this life. So we find out. Verse 58 and also in 61, if you keep in place here, I call. All right, they called Rebekah. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, "Will thou go with this man?" And here's what she said. "I will go." Now, the Holy Spirit of God, when she said, would you go? Would you go meet this Savior today? It's up to you say that I will go. I will come to Jesus Christ. Then it says there in verse 61, "And Rebekah rose and her damsel, and they abode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way." Now we find out he was a counselor. Now, he convinced her to go. Now she says, "I will go." Took several days to make up her mind. Mom and Dad said, "You won't want to go with this man?" She said, "Let me think about it." And those several days passed by. And they asked her, "If you made up your mind," she said, "I'll go. I'll go." And then she got on the camels and they took off. Now he convinced her about this bridegroom that she was going to marry. He was a great convincer. I hope he's convinced you this morning that you need to walk down and take Jesus Christ by the hand if you're not saved. But then if you are saved, we find out what happens. He becomes a great companion on the journey. Now if you're already saved and convinced that you need a Savior and you said, "Yes, Jesus Christ, I'll go, I'll be the bride." He says, "I do." You know what? You stand before Jesus Christ. You say, "I do." And he says, "I do." And y'all become the bride of Christ. Then along the journey, we find Rebekah has a long journey. He becomes her companion on this journey. Now, his job's not finished. See, the Holy Spirit of God, just because he convicted you and convinced you that you need Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit's job is not through with you until you leave this earth, either by the rapture of the church or either by death. The Holy Spirit's job is not through you and never will be through with you. And like I said, until you leave this earth, either one way or other, either through death or either by the rapture of the church, the Holy Spirit of God is not through you. He must teach you now. This all that he must teach you and everything, more and more about Jesus Christ all along the journey. That's the reason you're here this morning. If you're saved, you'll learn more and more. That's the reason we come to Sunday school. And that's the reason we come on Wednesday night. That's the reason we have Bible study. That's the reason you read your Bible, because you won't learn more and more because you're on a journey. And all along the journey, you see, in this nugget of gold that we have in the Word of God, all along the way, the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and shows you some nuggets you might have. That's the reason it's so very, very important for your children to be in the house of God. On Wednesday night and on Sunday morning for Sunday school. And you yourself too, because you see, all along the way, you're taking a journey. And that journey, you know, the road sometimes, as you know, is going to get mighty rough. It's going to be mighty, mighty rough. Well, we find out also as we take this journey, John chapter 14, verse 12 and on reading. "I have yet many things, Jesus Christ, saying to you, but you cannot bear them now." That's what he's talking to his disciples. "Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glory me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father have are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you." Did y'all get that? Everything that Jesus Christ has promised you all along this road, the Holy Spirit of God is going to show you some things along the way. Because I know that she got very tired. And the first thing you've done, you read this chapter, give her an earring and give her a bracelet. She was ready to go now. So we see along the journey of the road, all the way back home, a long way, riding on a camel. Do you reckon she got weary? All along the way, you see the old servant look over at Rebekah, and she may have a tear in her eyes. And he had stopped the camels. He had all the treasure of his father. He'd get out and he'd take one of those gold bracelets, necklace, earrings, and he'd hand it to her and say, "You know, your husband have great wealth above this that I'm giving you." And it would cheer up along the way, and he'd just keep loading her down with great jewels and things that her great husband was going to give to her. It's the same thing for us. Psalms 68:19 says, "It says, the Lord who daily loaded us down with benefits, even the God of our salvation." All along the way, the God loads you down with benefits. You think like you can't make it anymore, we want to quit, we want to stop, we want to give up, but you know what? You can't stop, you can't quit, and you can't give up. Because all along the way, the Holy Spirit of God is going to just load us down with jewels from the Father. Holy Spirit convinces us, and you say yes to the journey. then he becomes our counselor. And it teaches us more and more about Jesus Christ. You see, that's why I said, grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to tell you, that gives you nuggets. The more that you grow in the Lord, the more that you serve the Lord, the more that you come to church, let me tell you, there's a lot of people don't come very regular. I'm going to tell you, you can't grow in the Lord. Because the more that come, the more that you're going to know, the more that you know, the more that you're going to love Jesus Christ. The more that you love Him, the more that you want to love Him. The more that you come, the more that you do His Word. Listen, the more that we do what God tells us to do, the more that we'll love Him. Obeying Him. Now, I can learn a lot about Him until I start obeying Him. I'm going to tell you what, I will not love Him like I should. But all along the way, now, He is my counselor. Now, He's telling me more and more about Jesus Christ. Would you say today, those of us who are saved, I know more about Jesus Christ today than I did whenever I got saved. I know a lot more about Jesus Christ today. I don't know very much about the Word of God yet. I never will know a whole lot about the Word of God. I don't know much about Jesus Christ yet, but I know more today than I did the day that I got saved. And the more that I know about Jesus Christ, the more that I love Jesus Christ this day. Long journey, it teaches us and gives us these new nuggets. But then we find out that also He is our comforter. In verse 61 and also in verse 10. Well, in verse 10, He took 10 camels, so he departed. He had everything he needed. Now, 10 in the Bible is a word there, completion. That means completion. 10 is always complete. So He took 10 camels. Now, all along the road, He's comforter, but He took 10 camels with Him. That means completion. Well, the Holy Spirit of God has everything the Father gave Him. He got everything at His disposal of that we need. So He's got 10. That means complete. The Holy Spirit of God gives us everything we need for our journey. You're journeying now to see Jesus Christ. We sung that song. What a day that will be. Well, the Holy Spirit of God is completion this 10. He's got everything to give to you that you need to complete this journey. Everything we need. Now, no matter what it is, everything in life, from the time that you're saved into the time that you go to be with the Lord, the Holy Spirit of God has got everything that you need to complete this journey. Oh, what a day that'll be. What a day that'll be. It's a long, hot, dusty journey. A lot of time I said that I believe they got disappointed. I believe that she got disappointed. You know, sometimes there might even been a tear that might come to her eyes. And old servant, you know what? He'd stop and he'd get down and get one of those jewels. Because see, He is her completion. He is her comfort. John 14, verse 16 and 17 says, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you a comforter, that you may be abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not. Neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth in you, and shall be in you." Oh, I tell you, that's good, isn't it? The predestination now, and we find out she's going to see her great husband. But then we find out the groom. The groom is coming. Now, they're getting close to time to see Him now. The journey's about over with. Getting close to the end. And pay attention. And we find it in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. Same thing happened to you. Is going to happen. It happened to Rebecca. It's going to happen to you. It says, "Whom have not seen ye love, and whom though now you see Him not," she didn't see Him, "yet believed, rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receive the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul." Even who I have not seen, I'm coming closer to the end of my journey. Jesus Christ is getting ready to come back. And here's what happened at the close of the day. And I believe we're getting into the close of the day and Jesus Christ getting ready to come back for His bride. And it's chapter 24, 63, and on down to the end. "And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide." That was either when the sun is sinking low, getting ready to see his bride. "Hadn't saw her yet, but the sun is sinking low. And lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels was coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off her camels. For she had said unto the servant, What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant said, It is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death." As I said, eventide, that Isaac was out at the setting of the sun. You picture this now, the setting of the sun. He looks and he sees the camels coming. It's a picture now of Isaac getting ready to meet his bride. I believe we're living in a time that the sun is setting on this old world we knew of. And I believe the Lord is getting ready to come back after his bride. Here today, as we close this day, Isaac, he's meditating. What do you think Jesus Christ is thinking about right now? He's thinking about his bride. Because just like old Isaac, he couldn't wait to hold her. He could not wait to see her. He couldn't wait to embrace her. What do you think is on the heart and mind of Jesus Christ right now for his bride? We right now in a far country. One of these days we're going to our heavenly home. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When you look upon his face, I'm telling you, the one that saved you by his grace. When he takes you by the hand and leads you to that promised land, what a day, what a glorious day that will be. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds, and to meet our Lord in the air, and so ever shall it be with him. And the Holy Spirit says today, Him is Jesus Christ today. The Holy Spirit of God is pointing to him for your soul. It's him is Jesus Christ. We come now for the song. We come now today at the close of this service. As they come to sing this beautiful song, it's him. I tell you, the Holy Spirit of God has done his job today. I'm going to tell you what, I am the human instrument God allowed me to preach this message today. But now, have he convinced you today, the Holy Spirit of God, that you need Jesus Christ? Has he convinced you that he is also that the companion of your soul today? You may need to walk down this aisle today and understand that Jesus Christ is your soul salvation. There is no other. If it is, I'd like for you to stand this hour, and we have this song ready to go. It's my sins be washed away when you take Jesus Christ by the hand this day. And we stand to sing this song. Won't you come? Don't wait for anybody else. You need to come right now. You need to come right now. It's Jesus, it's him.
Makes me white as snow. No,
won't you come now? You never made this profession before. Jesus Christ, lover of your soul, this is a great day to do it. Won't you come right now and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you've already been saved this day, if you've never accepted, you already accepted him, you need to walk down this aisle and make it real. I'd like for you to come right now. It's Jesus. Don't put it off no longer. Haven't you waited long enough? Won't you come?